Message on this tape is the 11th in Bishop John Howe's series entitled Signs and Wonders in the Power of the Spirit. This message is called The Gifts of Tongues and Interpretation.
Would you turn to 1 Corinthians 14 again tonight? Same passage that we were looking at last week with regard to the gift of prophecy. And we're nearly at the end of this particular discussion. The gifts of the Spirit as described in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And I want to read the first couple of paragraphs in their entirety. 1 Corinthians 14, I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people but to God, for nobody understands them, since they are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to other people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Those who speak in a tongue build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. Now, I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you in some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? It is the same way with lifeless instruments that produce sound, such as the flute or the harp. If they do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is being played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if in a tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is being said? For you are speaking into the air. For there are doubtless many different kinds of sounds in the world, and nothing is without sound. If then I do not know the meaning of a sound, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for building up the church. Let me read two more verses. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. For some, this is a very familiar passage and a very familiar subject, and you are very much at ease with the whole business of speaking in tongues and interpretation. And for others, this may still be an area of some considerable anxiety and some real, perhaps even hurt. As we were praying before the service, we're very much aware that there has sometimes been some real hurt when people have been overly eager to see their friends speak in tongues, and they've urged it upon them. And maybe you've been in that position. Maybe somebody has told you that unless you speak in tongues, you are, you know, nowhere. You're a second-class citizen at best. That is a very tragic kind of a thing. Tongues are not, may I say, not the be-all and end-all. I think it's not insignificant that they come at the end of the list. We've been speaking about a whole variety of wonderful gifts of the Spirit, and we come at the end of the gift, at the end of the list, to the gift of tongues and interpretation. Nowhere does it say in the New Testament that unless you speak in tongues, you are not a Christian. Nowhere does it say in the New Testament that unless you speak in tongues, you have not been filled with the Spirit. Nowhere does it say in Scripture that unless you speak in tongues, you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to say that categorically. There are a number of instances where people had dramatic, life-changing experiences with the Holy Spirit, and those experiences were indeed accompanied by this strange gift, this strange phenomenon of speaking in tongues. But there are others in which tongues is not mentioned. So you cannot draw the conclusion that this is an absolutely necessary evidence. As a matter of fact, there's no evidence that Jesus spoke in tongues. I think that's interesting too. All the way through this series, I've been suggesting to you that we look at Jesus as the modeler of what it is to move under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and look at how he exercised the various gifts of the Spirit as a clue to the way in which they're to operate in our lives. Isn't it interesting that of all the ones that we've looked at, there's no evidence that he spoke in tongues? Mind you, there's no evidence that he didn't either. So I can't turn you to a passage in which Jesus spoke in tongues tonight. But we can deal with this particular passage in the light of everything that we've seen so far. Tongues are not held up as the sine qua non. Neither does it say, on the other extreme, that wonderful scripture that is always quoted, but you can't find it in the Bible, that tongues are the least of the gifts. You've heard that one, right? 1 Hezekiah 4:7, I think it was. It does not say that. It does not say tongues is the least of the gifts. What it does say is what we just read. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have a twofold dimension. One is to bring glory to God. The other is to bless his people. And tongues by themselves, that is speaking in an unknown language, not a language which I've learned. It's not like speaking Spanish, which I learned for 3 years in high school. No, it's speaking in a language which I have never learned, and I don't know what's coming out of my mouth any more than anybody else does. Speaking in tongues under the anointing of the Holy Spirit does not have that horizontal dimension of blessing. It may be a blessing to God, but it does not by itself bless his people. Now, in that sense, you could conclude that it is the least of the gifts, because all of the others have a horizontal dimension. They bless each other. They bless the people of God. If I speak in tongues, God is blessed, I hope and trust, and I am blessed in the speaking, but nobody else is blessed. Okay? Unless it's accompanied by the gift of interpretation, and these two go together. And when tongues is accompanied by the gift of interpretation, it becomes a vehicle of blessing to God's people, because suddenly they know what was said. And you say, well, if God wanted them to know what was said, why didn't he just say it? You know, why do we go through this strange business of giving it to a tongue speaker and then somebody else interprets? Well, because there is worked out the very epitome of gifts blessing each other, gifts cooperating together, one member of the body needing another. We're going to come back to that next time as we sum up this whole series. God could and often does give a word directly, a word of prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. He speaks directly through one of his servants, and we who hear that are the recipients of blessing. Sometimes he does it in this indirect way, first through a tongue and then through an interpretation of the tongue. And there is, if you can receive it, there is a double blessing in that, because the one gift is confirmed by the other, and it epitomizes our need for each other. Notice that when tongues is accompanied by interpretation, it may have been, if you extrapolated, the least of the gifts when it was alone, but when it's accompanied by interpretation, it becomes on the par, an equivalent with prophecy. And that we saw last time was the gift most to be sought after. Okay? So that is a very interesting thing, isn't it? A lot of people are really troubled by tongues. A lot of people really back off from this one more than from any other. Maybe because somebody else, as I said at the outset, was overly eager for them to come into it. Maybe they tried. They prayed for it. Nothing happened. Or they prayed for it and they tried and they felt they were just speaking foolishness, gibberish, nonsense syllables. They were embarrassed. Maybe they had some kind of an experience like that. Or maybe there's another dimension here of feeling, you know, I really don't want something coming out of my mouth that I don't understand. I have enough trouble with what I understand. You know. And I'm not sure I want somebody to sort of take over my mind, my tongue, my lips. I'm not sure I want it. And it all seems kind of weird anyway. So there are all sorts of reactions like that. May I say this to you? If tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit, then it is a good gift, because God doesn't give any other kind. And I'd like to suggest to you three principal reasons why tongues may be a good gift. And that's not to say that everybody must speak in tongues, but I just want to explain it, why God might want to give it. Number one is a vehicle of praise. And I think many of us have experienced that from time to time on Friday evenings. Sometimes when we've been singing God's praises and we sort of come to the end of a song, you just want to continue. And you don't want to be limited by the limits of our own language. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever tried in your own private devotions to praise God. Just praise Him. Just, you know, not even thanking Him for things that He's done, but praising Him for who He is. Have you ever tried to do that? You know what I find when I do that in English? I run out of language very quickly. I mean, after I've done the Te Deum, you know, where do I go? You know, we praise You, we bless You, we worship You, we give thanks to You, we honor You, we love You, we adore You, and I begin to repeat myself. Picture, if you've never experienced it, picture the Holy Spirit who resides inside of you, welling up like a little fountain of praise somewhere deep inside your being, not limited to the limits of English, but just allowing praise to continue. You know, it says in the 22nd Psalm, everybody knows the 23rd, but read the 22nd sometime. Fascinating psalm, predicting the crucifixion in incredible detail. Written 1,000 years before they ever crucified anybody. It's fascinating. But it begins by saying, the God of Israel is enthroned on the praises of His people. And we quote that a lot in preparation for a worship service. Oh God, be enthroned on the praises of Your people. God is everywhere, isn't He? But He says in a special way, He comes and makes His presence known and His power available and His blessing felt when people praise Him. That's the reason for this service, prayer and praise. I don't know about you, but I don't get enough praise on most Sunday mornings. You know, we have so much to do. You know, so let's find a time when we can have some more praise. And that's one of the reasons for this service. And we experience that as we praise God. He comes and He makes Himself known in our midst. Tongues, number one, is a vehicle of praise. It's not the only one. Paul goes on to say, I will sing praises with my mind. In other words, in my own language. He had several to choose from. And with my spirit. I'll speak in a language that I do understand with its limits. I'll speak in a language that I don't understand, which doesn't have limits attached to it. And it's like opening up another channel. It's not going through the channel of my mind. It's going from my spirit directly to God. And so those who are gifted with tongues, I think many cases have found that they can be doing something else. They can be driving the car. They can be cooking dinner. They can be doing whatever it is. And with another part of their being, just praising God. That's number one. Number two, similar to that, it's a vehicle of intercession. And again, if you've ever tried to pray for somebody, and I know you have, and something has been really heavy, a very, very difficult situation, and had many complicating factors, and you started to pray and you realized, I don't know how to pray for this one. I see this element. Somebody called me last night, one of the clergy in this diocese, with one of the most horrible pastoral problems that I've ever had shared with me. And we talked about it, and we looked at it from every possible direction, and then I said, you just got to pray. You just got to pray. You just got to be a priest in the midst of that situation and allow God to use you. I don't know how to pray. Again, picture a little well of the Holy Spirit welling up inside you and bypassing the limits of your understanding, so that it's God who is inside of you praying to God the Father. That's its second dimension. When I don't know how to pray, I don't know how to intercede, I've done everything I can with my own mind, I can still go on praying as God gives me the gift of tongues to do so. And thirdly, this is not in any sense an absolute, but this is, in my experience, I have found for the most part, the gift of tongues has been a kind of an introductory gift for a lot of people to many of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me illustrate that. We were talking last week about prophecy. If you are available to the Spirit of God, He could use you to bring forth a prophecy, right? We read last week, for you can all prophesy. All right? If you're the Spirit of God lives inside you, you're available, He could bring forth a prophecy, right? But in my experience, very, very few people have come into the ministry of prophecy who didn't first speak in tongues. Now, I've known some, but not many. And I think the reason is this. It's sort of a training ground. I begin to recognize the prompting of the Holy Spirit in a new supernatural dimension of my being when I come into tongues. And as I get trained in that dimension, then maybe the Lord leads me on into some other gifts like prophecy or bringing forth a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or any of the others that we've been thinking about. Again, that is not an absolute prerequisite, but for most folks, I think it has been a kind of a training ground and an introduction to a supernatural dimension of the Spirit. I have known only one person in all my life who had the gift of interpretation who didn't first have the gift of tongues. I'm encouraged that I knew one. Wonderful lady who had a marvelous gift of interpretation. To my knowledge, she never spoke in tongues. And yet when somebody else spoke in tongues, she would often be the one who gave the interpretation. And God used her in that way. But for most folks, you don't get interpretation until you've sort of been trained in the area of speaking in tongues. Tongues with interpretation becomes a vehicle of revelation. It can be a vehicle of prophecy, or a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, or it simply can be interpretation of a prayer that's offered to God, and in knowing what has been prayed, we are blessed. We can enter into it. So that's a very quick précis. I want to take just a moment and share my own personal experience in this area. I was one of those who resisted tongues with all of my being. For a number of years, as my wife became more and more off the deep end, as far as I was concerned. I'd go out of town to speak somewhere, and I knew what she was doing. The minute I got on the train, I knew she was running down to the Assembly of God, and, you know, I knew that. We never talked about it, but I knew it. And I worked out a theology that said tongues was absolutely unnecessary, and I didn't need it. Until one day, a young woman arrived on our doorstep. I don't remember how it was that she came to us, but she knew that we had a ministry with students, I guess, and some way she came to our home and literally said, "Take care of me." She had been thrown out by her boyfriend. She was living with a boy in his college dormitory. She was not a student in that college. He threw her out. She had nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. And we took her in, and as we got acquainted with her, we discovered that she had had incredibly deep experiences of the occult, that her mother was a practicing witch. This girl had had just unbelievable experiences of the supernatural, and she had been raised a non-practicing Jew, We explained the gospel, and she wanted to put her faith in Christ and tried to, and there was this blockage. Wouldn't go anywhere. We became aware that she was a deeply, deeply troubled young woman. And we tried every approach of counseling and ministry that we knew, and there was still a blockage. Well, we knew of some folks who had a ministry in setting people free from that kind of occult bondage, and we made an appointment to talk with them and shared with them the story and asked if they would minister to her, and they agreed to. And we set a date, and she was willing to have them minister to her, and we set a date for it, and on the afternoon before that meeting, I got down on my knees and I prayed in a dimension that I had not prayed before, a dimension of honesty and a dimension of awe before God. And I told him that I realized I was so far out of my element in trying to deal with this young woman and whatever it was that was holding her in bondage. I didn't know how to do it. Lord, I am over my head. You must help. And there came a breakthrough. And with tears, I said, Lord, I realize that I've been resisting you. And if it would help. To be able to pray in tongues, then I ask you to give me that gift. If it would help to see a vision, then Lord, give me a vision. If it would help to have any of these weird supernatural things, if it would help her, then Lord, I ask you to give me whatever I need to minister to her. And do you know, I had a vision. It was not a terribly profound vision, and I have not had very many visions since, but I had a vision. So I was kneeling there on my knees, suddenly saw a bright light, and it was warm, and it was the Lord, and he was saying to me, it's going to be okay. And suddenly I found coming out of my mouth an unknown language. And I was so proud. I mean, I've been resisting this with all my being for 10 years, and now I've spoken 3 words, and I'm full of pride. But we got through that. And that really illustrates, number one, the terrible temptation that it is to take pride in our gifts, whatever they might be. You can't take pride in a gift. You didn't do anything to earn it. It was a gift. But number two, it also illustrates the much better motive, the appropriate motive. Lord, it's for her. If it would help. And it did. And she was wonderfully set free the next day. And she was baptized in my living room. And she goes on with the Lord Jesus. Many, many years later, she's doing just fine. But that was the beginning. And tongues has never been a real big deal for me, but it is opening up another dimension. And it's an important dimension. And it's a dimension of ministry. It's to praise the Lord. It's to intercede for others. I want to say one more word. Some people, when they finally come to that point of willingness, or maybe even eagerness, they expect God to sort of zap them. You know? Maybe some of you have had that experience. All right. God. I'm ready. And God doesn't usually zap people. Occasionally he does, just, you know, to keep it interesting. But usually he doesn't. The pattern in the New Testament, it's very interesting. Look at what it says on the day of Pentecost. All of them began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who did the speaking? They did the speaking. The Spirit supplied the words. They did the speaking. Put your mouth in gear and let the Spirit supply the words. Put your mouth in gear, only not in English, and let the Spirit supply the words. For some, it is very helpful to have others pray for them and lay hands on them. It's not an absolute necessity. I've known people who have woken up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues, didn't even know what it was in some cases. Thought they were going crazy in some cases, because nobody had ever taught on it before. Or sometimes they've gotten a word, or a syllable, or just a little tiny phrase, and sure enough, the enemy comes along and says, you're just making that up, you know. But if they're faithful in using that little word or phrase or even syllable, it begins to grow and become something more. Occasionally, I've known somebody who just, got it. But that really is the exception to the rule in my experience. So, if your motives are right, it's not for pride. It's that it might be more useful to you, Lord. More useful, especially in ministering to others. If you'd like me to have that gift, then Lord, I want that gift. If it would be helpful to pray with somebody, we'll have some folks after the service, as we always do. We'd love to pray with you. If you've got tongues, there's an apostolic command here to ask for the gift of interpretation so that it becomes all the richer and all the more useful. And it's to the glory of God. It's not for self-importance. It's not for calling attention to myself. It's to the glory of God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this strange gift. This gift which can set us free. Can set us free from the limitations of our mind and our own language. And Lord, for those who have been heard, I pray that you will minister to them by your Spirit. For those who have been timid, give boldness, Lord. And for all of us, whether we receive this gift or not, Lord, help us to channel our motives into a desire of wanting simply to please you and to be available to minister to others. For your great name's sake. Amen. Amen.